Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
Now, if you'll please join in the words for lighting the chalice. They're printed in your order of service, but also projected. We light this chalice for the light of truth, the warmth of love, and the energy of action as we gather together in the circle of community. Now, please take a deep breath and listen. As this sound rings out, try to hear in it joy, wonder, celebration. Hear in it centuries, millennia of human beings coming together to affirm all that binds them. Breathe and listen. Just this past week, I was sitting in a coffee shop in New York City, and I had my computer out and my earphones in, and my music was loud enough that I couldn't hear any of the ambient noise. The only sound was the singer and the beat piping into my ears. But all around me, swirling in and out of my vision, were people. So many people. So different, different shapes, different sizes, different colors, getting different drinks and food, arriving from different places as they entered, going different places as they left, living different lives, longing for different things, holding different pains, celebrating different joys, and yet also all wet from the same rain. All these people there, moving beautifully around each other in my music-filled field of vision. Often where I live is overwhelming and busy and crowded, but in that moment, I was filled with a strange kind of peace, a sort of heart swell of gratitude for the vast diversity of humanity. The rabbi and theologian Abraham Joshua Heschel wrote that people of our time are losing the power of celebration. Instead of celebrating, we seek to be amused or entertained. Celebration is an active state, an act of expressing reverence or appreciation. To be entertained is a passive state. It is to receive pleasure afforded by an amusing act or spectacle. Entertainment, he writes, is a diversion, a distraction of the attention of the mind from the preoccupations of daily living. Celebration is a confrontation, giving attention to the transcendent meaning of one's actions. Celebration is an act of expressing respect or reverence for that which one needs or honors. To celebrate is to share in a greater joy, to participate in an eternal drama. I thought of that Heschel quote as I sat there in this coffee shop in a moment that felt like a moment of celebration. Quiet, internal, solitary celebration, for the participation in this eternal drama of human difference and sameness. A strange moment of reverence and transcendence that honored our human need to live our own special lives, but in and among each other. This morning here, we are going to share stories from two world religions, stories that celebrate the triumph of good over evil, stories that herald spring, and that speak to our need for each other. So welcome this morning as we celebrate all together, young and old alike, in this special place. This is the time in our service that we spend in quiet reflection. Some of us use this time for prayer or for breathing deeply in and out, for meditation, some for daydreaming. How you use this time is your choice, but it is our quiet time together. And I know that it can be hard being quiet together, for children and for some of us grown-ups. So every Sunday I try to help, and I'm going to ask you to just do your best to follow my directions this morning. So first, I want you to settle into your seat. Let yourself feel solidly grounded. If your feet touch the floor, put them both down squarely. If they don't reach, you can go crisscross applesauce on your chair. Whatever feels comfortable. Take your hands. You can put them on your belly or in your lap, at your sides, whatever works for your body. And if it feels comfortable, close your eyes. Now take a deep breath in. Not loud, just slow, steady, and deep. And then let it out. Take another deep breath in. Let it slowly out. Feel your body gently rise and fall with your breathing. Nice and slow. As you breathe, think about the people that you love, the people you take care of and who take care of you, think about their smiles and their laughter, their hugs, the love they show and how they show it. Let yourself smile as you think about them. And keep breathing deeply. As we move into the silence, feel your love for them and their love for you. Taking time every day to think about those we love is an important way to celebrate them in the quiet of our hearts and minds. It's a way of accessing the joys of our lives. May you have time each day to remember the sources of love and life. So may it be. So it doesn't quite feel like it yet, but we're getting close to the springtime. Crocuses, those first flowers that pop up at the beginning of spring, have begun to peek through their tightly wrapped green leaves that protect them as they grow. The weather has intermittently at least been warmer. I went without my winter coat one day this week. Before we know it, the birds will be winging and singing in the sky. The flowers will be blossoming, the trees blooming, the breeze warm, the sky blue, and we will have sunshine. Before we know it, we'll all be caught up in that springtime energy, that fervor that makes us want to get outside and run around and meet new friends and visit with old friends, fall in love and dance and sing and spring clean and plant gardens and watch baseball and do all the things that we love to do in the spring. We're on the cusp of one of the most startling yearly changes. The shift from winter to spring, for me at least, always feels the most abrupt, the most surprising. Summer is a warming of spring, fall a more gentle ease, usually, into the cooler, crisper air. Winter a deeper sink into cold and snow and dark. But when spring comes, it springs. I always feel, at least in this part of the country, like it just sort of happens, that it one day, all of a sudden, the world reawakes. I know there's a whole process of growing, that under the hard, cold soil, the earth is gathering itself to bloom again. I know that though it seems sudden, in fact, months of resting, of hibernating and collecting strength and energy have gone into the life that we will see explode in the natural world and in ourselves. All around the world, there are festivals for celebrating the spring. Purim and Holi are just two of them, two festivals that celebrate the coming of new life, the coming of color and flowers and light, two festivals that celebrate the triumph over evil. We can see the symbolism. Haman and Hiranyakashipu, two villains who tried to destroy others, are defeated, just as the winter, during which everything sleeps, is overtaken by the spring and life is renewed. Fullness, life, color, renewal, these are the themes that are prevalent in the spring and in the stories that herald it. But there's another element to these celebrations, and it's the one that I especially want to lift up today. It's the aspect that speaks to our shared humanity and the ways that all of us together experience the cycles of the earth. To celebrate Purim, children put on costumes, grown-ups too. There's singing and merriment. Although Purim begins with a short fast, it's not like other Jewish holidays that involve mourning and prayer and longer fasting and study. This holiday involves reading the book of Esther and then celebrating. The Jewish people are commanded to eat, drink, and be merry on this holiday. Tradition teaches you that you are supposed to celebrate so much on Purim that you can't tell the difference between the phrases, "Cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordecai." You're supposed to give out treats and give out charity. The costumes commemorate a moment in the story when Esther's uncle Mordecai is dressed in the king's robes, but they also teach us that no one knows who it is giving out the charity and who is asking for it. It obscures the differences. You dress up in part to disguise the differences between people. The traditions of Purim remind us of the fragility and resilience and shared vulnerabilities and courage of human life. On Holi, bonfires are lit in memory of the bonfire that Holika lit before Vishnu made her go away. But there's more to celebrating Holi. On the day of the festival, people walk around town sharing sweet treats, not unlike Purim. But people also throw colored powder and colored water on each other. And in case you've never seen any images of Holi, we have a few to show you this morning. On Holi, people take handfuls of colored powder, colored paint, made from flowers and other bright and beautiful natural ingredients, and they smear them on each other's bodies and faces and throw them at each other, creating billowing clouds of color. They also use colored water and other aids, so water guns, buckets, to make the color spread even further. Just like Purim, Holi is not a day for prayer, called puja in Hindi. It's a day for partying, for celebration, for enjoyment. Children and youth wander around in packs with colored water and colored powder, and all the normal rules of respect go out the window. Students can throw colored powder on teachers, children at their parents and elders, everyone at complete strangers. It doesn't matter if you are shy or outgoing, young or old, you will end up covered in color on Holi. People throw color on each other, all over each other, until you can't tell who is who. Until everyone looks the same, just a giant blur of bright and beautiful colors. Krishna was worried that Radha wouldn't love him because of his blue-gray color. So he threw color on her, and their love blossomed. The traditions of Holi remind us of the light that always returns, but also of the falseness of the lines that divide us in our normal living, and the potential we have to create a world of total beauty. Both Purim and Holi are considered moments for new beginnings, moments to meet people, to forgive and forget, to let go, for a moment at least, of our fears and inhibitions. It's a time to celebrate all the things that bind us together in joy, that keep us connected in happiness. It's a time to erase the differences between us with costumes and colors, to let go of our individual identities, and instead to embrace what is the same. So you can no longer tell who is in need and who has plenty, who is old or who is young, who is rich or poor or educated or not. Everyone just becomes like everyone else. Because underneath all the things that separate us are things that tie us closely together. All of us feel sad sometimes. All of us feel happy sometimes. All of us feel lonely. All of us feel pain. All of us get sick. All of us feel joy. All of us sing, tell stories, carry memories, have fears and hopes and deep longings. All of us cry for loved ones who have died. All of us find delight in our friends. All of us rejoice and celebrate, though probably not as much as we should. All of us are born and all of us will die. All of us feel love and all of us long to be loved. No matter our color or socioeconomic status or gender or sexual identity or age, all of us human beings are related to each other in our struggles and in our joys, in our fears and in our feelings, in the brevity of our living and in its glory, in the fundamental things that make us human beings. There are so many ways that we are the same, and that sameness is something to celebrate. That Heschel passage that I read in our opening words says that celebration is an active thing. It's an active expression of the eternal, of what is permanent, of what will always be. Purim and Holi are these kinds of celebrations. They are intentional, active expressions of reverence for the change of season, but also intentional, active expressions of reverence for life, for what is in us that binds us, for what makes us human, for the things we can't change about our humanity. We extinguish the flame, but not the love or the energy of action that derives from our hearts until we are together again. Okay. May we all remember that underneath our differences, we are all human creatures that feel the same pains and joys. And may we remember that we have cause to celebrate, to show active and intentional reverence for the blessings in our lives. Go in peace and celebrate.